Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's Mr. Wonderful here at your service. As always, I'm so proud to be here. I don't know what to do. My website is www.jbsba.com. Russell Brown is our guest. I'm so proud to have him here. I don't know what to do either. Russell is a longtime original member of our Brain Trust. We're in our eighth year together. Can you believe that, Russ? And Russ is the author of a number of books, including Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business and Preparing Your Business for Sale, and he's got this incredible computer program called BizPricer that's just dynamite. It helps people figure out how to value a business. And he's just all over the place with this business buying and selling. He's one of the world's experts in that area. Russell, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. I'm certainly be glad to be back with you today.
Well, I can see that. I can see why we'd be pretty excited about it.
Yeah, well, I keep hearing about you being on that the Heavy Hitter 100.
The Heavy 100? No, the Heavy 100.
The Heavy 100,
you got to get it right, Russ.
And I wondered why you keep you would be so proud of that. You think you'd just lose some weight and get off that list?
Well, you know, it is interesting you said that because that is the name of the group. And I actually did protest to the Talkers Magazine folks. I know the folks there at Talkers, and I did protest one time. And I told them that on behalf of the ladies, I thought they should change the name because, you know, I would think that the ladies wouldn't want to be called, be a member, the people who were in the ladies who were in that group wouldn't want to be called part of the Heavy 100. And so they said, what do you recommend? I said, well, I think you should call us Radio Gods and Goddesses. but so far that suggestion hasn't caught on. It didn't. Now it apparently was a non-starter, Russ. So I guess we're back to the Heavy 100. Anyway, it's good to have you back. And folks, what we're doing is in Russell's work, he has identified a bunch, but we're focusing now on 26 key areas that people need to pay attention to when they're buying a business, or if they're selling, what they need to be thinking, expecting a buyer to ask them about. And I think we're on the queue today, aren't we? In the queue today?
Yeah, I was able
the letter we're working on today?
Right, I was able to put these in alphabetical order. And the Q is the weakest one of all. I had to really stretch on this one. And by the way, this is it's called Finding the Skeletons. And so there's the 26 skeletons in the closet that you might want to look out for. Anyway, the Q is weak. It's quiet. There are no clients, customers, or sales revenues.
Well, it's weak from a catchy phrase standpoint, but from an impact in buying the business, there's nothing weak about it, is there?
Well, that's very true. If you get into buying a business of which you have no clients, customers, or sales revenues, that could be a big problem. Well, of course, what we're doing here is we're exaggerating quite a bit, but the point of this particular skeleton is to you have to do your due diligence. You have to verify for businesses that have a client list or a customer base that is relatively few customers. You have to verify as a potential buyer or as a seller, be prepared to provide the proof to a buyer that in fact those clients are your clients currently and active and can be reasonably expected to continue into the future.
Mm-hmm.
So not only clients, but of course customers too.
Well, one of the big questions, and this is when you find out whether you really have a person who's willing to sell, and it's when you find out whether they really do believe that you have a chance to buy, and that's when you ask to see the customer list.
Yes, and that's something
that's a real breakpoint event, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the crown jewel, so to speak. You know,
yeah.
Something closely guarded, and a lot of rapport has to be built up between the buyer and seller.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of trust, And most likely, to augment the trust, you'll have some, there'll be a non-disclosure agreement, a confidentiality agreement relative to this type of information that, the buyer will have to sign before this kind of information is divulged.
But beyond the documents, the seller has to really, really believe that this transaction that, with this person that they're talking to, which is you, that this really has a chance of making it, and they want to make it. And when they give you those that customer list, that's when you know the game is on, don't you?
Yep, that's absolutely correct. If there's a logical point in that due diligence process, again, where the confidence and trust in each other is built up.
And the expectation. When we come back, I'm going to ask Russ about the different ways we can get that. Will it have the numbers or just the names? Why do you care? 22. Stay with us.
When I die in the name of
back at 17-till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I'm glad you're here. Russell Brown is our guest, and he's our business buying and selling expert. Russell, give us your website, please.
www.businessbookpress.com.
And can they find the Biz Pricer there?
Biz Pricer's there, the books I've written there, and I've got a whole collection of, that I've carefully selected of books and articles relative to the buying, selling, and valuing of a business that have all been carefully selected.
And they just they can just go there and find your recommendations and folks, he's done a lot of work for you. This is his life's work. And I really encourage you to check out the Biz Pricer. You got that new wizard thing going now, haven't you?
Yes, it's just received a tremendous interest and acceptance. It's great, and I'm so pleased to have a product that people really love.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty cool. I've seen it, folks, and I encourage you to check it out. And the website again is businessbookpress.com. And don't forget, you can buy his books there too. If they buy the Biz Pricer, will you give them a little bit of a discount on the book, one of the books?
If they mention your name, I will give them the best deal that.
All right.
That they can.
He'll fix you up, folks. Check it. So check it out when you get a chance. Okay, we're talking about as you say, quiet when you. You know, the last thing in the world you want is to buy a business thinking you got customers coming in the door, because that's the reason as you taught us over the years, Russell, you buy a business because of the cash flow that's already there, which obviously comes from customers. And if you buy this business and didn't do your homework and you come into to the shop the first day and there's no customers coming in, that's when you say, uh-oh, I think I made a mistake.
Yeah.
And so here's the question. If the seller, I should say, gives you a customer list, and all there is names, all there are names on this list, you know, anybody can put a name on a list. Anybody can even create a computer-generated list of names that looks like it's official, and it came right off of your general ledger, let's say, or your accounts payable aging. But the question is, shouldn't you ask for the numbers?
The numbers as in
what they bought from you, how much they've been spending,
sure,
with you,
yeah,
and all that sort,
okay,
of thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's a difference between clients and customers in the way I use it anyway. In the case of clients, that's more of generally that means fewer of these kind of folks who have follow-on business with the company. So I would ask to see, in the case of clients, I would ask to see a client list. I'd ask permission to contact a random selection of them. I'd want to know the approximate annual volume, sales volume that you can expect from the client.
Recent, what's been going on recently?
Recently, but I also want to know how long they've been a client as well. So.
Well, one of the things, Russ, that we got to pay attention to is if they show you the name of some local plant, and you might be really impressed, but what you might have found out is that is that, you know, somehow there was some bad feelings that happened between these two companies in the last 30 days. Or that maybe that plant is actually doing too much business with this company. Maybe 80% of the business this company's doing that you're buying is done with that one customer, which is dangerous. Or it could be that you needed to know that they were doing that, how much business they were doing with this company, because you happen to know, maybe this seller doesn't know, but you happen to know that plant may be thinking about leaving the area. You got to know all this stuff, don't you?
Right, and these are all good points that you're bringing up, and it all points to the need to look at history, to make a projection out as to what you can expect in the reasonably foreseeable future, as far as continued business for the company, and that's the whole thing. As long as you keep your eye on the ball, where is it that I'm going with all of this?
Mm-hmm.
Then this whole thing starts to make more sense, or make absolute sense as to why you're doing it. So again, back with clients, you know, clients. Typically, you think of clients more as from a professional perspective, like
professional services,
doctors, lawyers, CPAs, and so on. And that's true. But their clients, I also look at clients for beauty salons and chiropractors and businesses of that nature, where you have customers/clients who are returning, who have business with you, who have in manufacturing company, people with say contracts to purchase goods and materials, and so on. So you just got to get your arms around this, and then verify to your satisfaction that these clients will continue post sale of the business. First of all, they're real, of course, and then second, that they have a reasonable chance of continuing with the business after the sale.
But you also want to see that aging report too, don't you? That accounts receivable aging.
Oh, absolutely, because there's good clients and then there's not so good clients.
Well, you know, in the run up to selling the business, a seller might loosen up their credit. You and I've talked about this before, Russ. You've helped us with this in the past, where you've talked about how a seller would loosen up the credit requirements, extend extra, you know, credit to these people, just to get the sales volume up at the last, you know, at the last 6 months or so. Come to find out, these people aren't paying their bills, and that could be a problem. And we're going to find out why in just a few minutes. It's 10 till. We'll be right back after these messages. 10 till. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Is that Strawberry Alarm Clock? Is that the name of that band, Russ? Is that who that is? I think that's who that is. Yeah, Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen. He remembers all this stuff. Russell, give us your website again, please.
Businessbookpress.com.
Yeah, don't forget to check out the BizPricer. What are you getting for that now, Russ?
It's, if you want it on CD-ROM and delivered to your door, it's $99.95.
Yeah.
Or you can download it immediately for $79.95.
What if I want to download it immediately and then get you to follow up with a CD? Will you do it for
$99.95.
But if I need it today, but I like to have my CDs.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I like to have the backup of the CD kind of thing. So if I wanted to, I could go ahead for $99. I could get it ordered, but go ahead and download it now.
Yes.
All right. Sounds good.
Absolutely.
All right. Hope you'll check that out, folks. And don't forget the books. They're the laws of the buying and selling jungle are in the strategies book. And so I hope you'll check that out at businessbookpress.com. Russell, we're talking about making sure that our customers in this business we're going to buy are not only actually there, and not only are they actually doing business with this company we're buying, but also that they're not too much of a customer, meaning that we count on them too much, or that they the business we're doing with them is quality business, meaning that they're actually paying their bills on time.
Yep, that's exactly the point. You know, the first one you touched on were, you know, the quantity of business. There's hardly any, you know, every business is different, and so it's hard to come up with a firm rule. But as a rule of thumb, I would say that any business that relies on a customer for more than 10% of their overall business is something that customer has to be looked at very closely.
More than 10%? Wow, that's pretty rigid, Russ.
No more than 10, yeah.
Wow. I mean,
think about it. I mean, if you buy a business in 10% and you've got 10 customers and, you know, 10% of your business is it's apportioned equally.
That's pretty rigid, Russ.
Well, 10% of your business is to lose 10% could be.
No, you're right. No, you're exactly
going
right. Of course,
from profitable to non-profitable.
But how do you reconcile that with the Pareto principle, 80-20?
The what principle?
Do you believe the Pareto principle is that 80% of your business will come from 20% of your customers? And that's, I mean, that's just kind of a natural law that you see an awful lot of. I mean, I see that when I was a consultant, I saw that an awful lot. I saw a lot of people out there. And the point you're making, you're pretty strict on that in your area, but Pareto is on the other end of the spectrum. It's better. You're better off if only 10% comes from one customer. But in reality, that often, you know, we tend to find, if we find a good customer, we try to cultivate them and get them to do more business with us.
Yes, I understand. And that principle, I've heard that. I didn't recognize the name of it, but I understand that principle. But, you know, I can find dozens of situations in business where that just doesn't hold true. I mean, just take a movie rental store, for example.
Right.
Probably nobody represents more than 0.005%.
Right.
And so I guess what I'm getting at is when I had that strict number of 10%, and I was, and I think in my books I call it 10 to 15%, but it's in that range. It just reflects a strong part of a big part of your business. Just think, stop that, sit back and think. If you're doing, $1 million worth of sales per year, I mean, can you afford to lose $100,000, $150,000 sales all of a sudden?
That's right.
And that could be devastating. You could end up going from a very profitable business to no profit at all. You may not be put into a situation of going bankrupt, but that may wipe out your entire profit.
Especially since your capitalization of this business is a lot more intensive than the previous owner, because they'd already paid for a lot of stuff, and you're now paying for all that. It's costing you more to do business, especially in the early days, than it was that seller. But the main thing that you're teaching us, Russ, is that we got to know who the customers are, how much business they're doing. Are they still going to be doing business after you buy the business? And what's the quality of that business? And that's one of the most important things that you can find out when you're buying a business. Russell, give us your website one more time.
Businessbookpress.com.
It's a great site, folks. A lot of free stuff there, too. Thanks, Russ. We'll see you next month.
Okay. Take care, Jim.
Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen. We can't do without him. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.